Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Freedom Mortgage, dedicated to veterans and their homeownership needs. Visit freedommortgage.com. NMLS 2767. Equal housing lender.
Good morning and welcome to the morning briefing for Monday, September 18th, 2017. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer, and once again, we're going to kick off the week in style. Coming up today, we'll speak with our VA reporter, Jonathan Kopanger, about some new numbers coming from the VA related to the suicide epidemic we face in the veteran community. And then, we'll speak to the maestro of the podcast, ConnectingVets.com's Phil Briggs, about Vets Aid, the landmark musical event taking place in just a couple days with huge names like Joe Walsh, the Zac Brown Band, and Gary Clark Jr. taking the stage to rock out for veterans' issues. Phil had the chance to speak to the legendary Joe Walsh, the man who's behind this event, about why he's putting on this show and his personal connection to the military. Later, Dr. Megan McCarthy, Deputy Director for Suicide Prevention and Awareness at the Department of Veterans Affairs, talked to us about what the VA offers and new programs they're developing in an effort to combat the suicide rate in the veteran community, which, as we all know, is just way too high. All of that and more on today's show, and it all starts now as we welcome VA reporter Jonathan Kopanger to the studio. Jonathan, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah. Bad decisions were made. Fun was had by all. One of those.
That's what you're looking for in a weekend. Yeah. Typically, I had family in town. My father-in-law and his lady friend came down and visited for the weekend. So we hung out with them, went to a few new places to eat that were pretty good.
Good.
Pretty good time out there. Overall, not a bad weekend, I can certainly say. Although, the weekend comes to an end, and sometimes I sit there and I think, I could have slept a lot more. I had the opportunity. Why didn't I do it?
Yeah.
And this morning when I got up, I had, for just a moment or two, I woke up and my alarm goes off usually at 4:45 or 5 a.m. I got up and the alarm was set for 4:45. I thought that it said 5:45, which is way too late.
Don't you hate that?
Like if worse comes to worse and I leave the house at 5:45, I can be here on time.
Yeah.
I'll be here in enough time to get the show, the audio all put in there and everything. But it's late to be leaving at that time. But this was when I thought I was waking up. I thought I was an hour behind, and that would not have been good. That would have meant no shower. That would have meant mismatched socks and shoes, hopefully remembering to put pants on. I mean, it can be a difficult thing on a Monday,
I'll do you on that one. I had to actually check my phone yesterday to make sure it was Sunday and not Monday and that I just didn't miss a day.
That can happen. You can sometimes go through the weekend and be like, meh. I knew it was Sunday because it's football season now. Uh-huh. So I was watching football for about 7 hours straight while my wife cleaned out our garage. And I had asked, can I help you out? Can I do anything down there? She said, no. Because you're just going to ask me what to do with things, and then I'm going to tell you, just put it down and I'll do it. And that would extend the amount of time that it took. But now we have a cleaned out garage that will fit both the car and the motorcycle.
There
before, it was just my motorcycle and then a bunch of stuff in there. We moved down and we had a house, and now we live in a townhome, which is a good size, but the storage... We didn't realize how much stuff we had in our... Yeah. We had a whole storage room. The laundry room in our basement was the size of many people's living rooms at our old house. Oh, man, did we have a lot of stuff down there. So, she was organizing it this weekend. But happy to say, not only is my Harley-Davidson motorcycle down in my new home, It's actually now in the shop getting service done to it and getting right and ready for the road. So I will be able to ride it in here in short order. Hopefully by the end of the week, I might be able to ride it in one.
Growing up, we never had cars in the garage because it was always just full of junk.
Yeah.
My dad was a piano tuner and he would also buy pianos and fix them up. So there was always seven or eight pianos around the house.
That's a lot of pianos.
It's a lot of pianos. But he could play very well. So there was a lot of music. So there was that.
I would say that two pianos is a lot of pianos. Maybe too many pianos if you have two, but seven or eight, I guess if that's your job, it makes sense.
And the only one that we owned that was ours was in my room, and it was never in tune. Go figure.
You know, while I was speaking of my my Harley, I want to point out to people that if you go to ConnectingVets.com and you're listening to The Morning Briefing, powered by CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com, Connecting Vets every day, there is an article up there, and it is fantastic. And I'm not just saying that because I wrote it. I mean, yeah, that's part of it. But Harley Davidson, check this out, Jonathan. Mm-hmm. So let's say you are currently serving in the military. You haven't for quite some time. You've been out for a while. I've been out for a while. If you were serving and you ended up being deployed to, you know, wherever, overseas, mm-hmm. and you had a motorcycle, it can be fairly pricey to put that motorcycle someplace safe. And you want to put it someplace safe because Absolutely. Do you really trust somebody else with your motorcycle? It's different than a car. If it's left out in the rain, that can have an adverse effect on it. It's something that a lot of family members don't appreciate. Those of us who ride motorcycles and might try to get rid of it while you're gone. It turns out Harley Davidson and all of the Harley Davidson dealerships mm-hmm. will store your motorcycle for the duration of your deployment for free.
That's pretty incredible.
Not only that, if you own a Harley, and boy, go look at the new 2018 line of Harley Davidsons, and even if you don't ride a bike, tell me you can't find one that you love. If you own one and it's under warranty, that warranty will be extended for the duration of your deployment. So let's say you have 1 year left on your warranty for your bike, right? And you go on a 1 year deployment. When you get back, you still have 1 year left on the warranty.
Oh, so it's not just the time that you're gone.
No.
It's, they add it to
it's put on hold and then your warranty is reinstated once you get back.
That's pretty incredible.
There's an article on that where you can find out more about it. It's got links and all that good stuff on the site. And of course, Harley Davidson, one of our wonderful sponsors here at ConnectingVets.com. We're also later this week going to talk to Adam Sandoval, who is the man, the face behind Mission Thank You, where Harley Davidson is giving out eight free brand new Harley Davidson motorcycles. They've already given out over half of them. We're going to talk to Adam about that program and about what it's been like being involved in it and why he wanted to do this, because he didn't serve. He's not a veteran. I don't know if he has any family members who are veterans. We're going to talk to him about that, but this is something that was very important to him, and we're going to get it straight from the horse's mouth on Mr. Adam Sandoval. Of course, you can go to his website, Adam Sandoval Rides, to find out about him. Kind of a celebrity in the motorcycling world. All the guy does is ride his bike with his dog. He has a special house. I'm not kidding you. You're a dog person. So am I. He has a special house that he puts. It's like a carrier on the back of his bike. That's a house for his chihuahua that he has that rides with him. I'm telling you, it's pretty awesome when you see it. The dog is living in the lap of luxury on the back of his Harley, which he is constantly riding around the country, which is why he's become such, you know, such a big name in the biker world, because this is a guy who's living the dream of many people who only get to ride maybe on the weekends, drive in and out from work every once in a while. This guy's job essentially is riding around the country on a Harley Davidson, which I don't think it gets much better than that. September is Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month, Jonathan.
Yes, it is.
We're obviously making a rapid change in pace and shift in subjects here, but when it comes to suicide awareness and prevention, there is never a bad time to talk about it. And this month, we're trying to drive the focus to this issue, and it's an issue that is particularly devastating and particularly important to the veteran community because our suicide rate is sky high.
Yes, it is. And the VA just took a look at everything. They looked at over 55 million records. They started with records from 1979 up to 2014, and they really looked at everything with a fine-tooth comb to really make sure that the numbers that they've been talking about were correct. One of the things that I found interesting was these are much better numbers than they had before, because before they only looked at records from 20 states, and it really didn't give that corrected data. So this they've looked at a lot more. The stats that I'm going to tell you, they're very sobering, but they're kind of important to know. The overall, the if you just look at it on paper, overall, veterans compare very similar to civilians.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you start getting into things that it starts changing. When you adjust for age differences, age and sex, suicide was 22% higher among veterans when compared to U.S. non-veterans.
Wow.
And you do that and you separate male from female, it's 19% higher for male veterans and a 2.5 times higher for female veterans. So female veterans kind of fare better than male veterans. And in fact, in 2014, female veterans in care in VHA facilities were the only group where it actually, the numbers actually went down. It went down 1.3%. So that's showing that there's something going on at the VA, especially for women, that's really working well.
Mm.
Some of the other numbers that we found out, the suicide rate among middle age and older adult veterans remains high. So in 2014, about 65% of all veterans who died by suicide were 50 years old or older.
See, and that's something that I think will surprise a lot of people, because when they think about veterans committing suicide, they think more of those recently returning from Iraq and Afghanistan,
yeah.
The young kids, essentially, those, you know, 21 to 30 years old, maybe in their 20s, late 20s. Mm-hmm. But it's obviously an issue that's a lot more wide ranging than that.
Yes. There's one small piece of good news out of this. Before, the numbers that we got from the VA, it was said that 22 veterans a day killed themselves.
Right.
They've lowered that to 20. So it's not a huge jump, but it's, I mean, there's two.
It's improvement, that
we
can
be happy for.
Two more people a day, which is what? Almost, you're getting close to 1,000 a year, because 365 times two is 730, I believe. So 730 veterans a year, if you extrapolate that. And is that a huge number? No, but any improvement is good until we get it down to zero, which may never happen, but...
Right.
You know, if we're able to lower it substantially, and that's substantial, that's about a 10% drop.
Yeah. So it's interesting that they come out with this. There's been some talk in the people that I've been talking to about VA that the VA hasn't been doing enough about suicide.
Mm.
And there's even a couple contractors who used to work with the VA that have been telling me that they haven't been doing enough. And now I kind of realize why. They've actually kind of pulled back to look at the numbers. And I think they're getting ready to do another push with these now that they have better stats to go on.
And coming up later in the show, we'll speak with Dr. Megan McCarthy, who is the Deputy Director of Suicide Prevention and Awareness at the Department of Veterans Affairs. I was able to speak to her late last week. Unfortunately, she's on the West Coast, so it wasn't live, but we're going to play the conversation that I had with her coming up in the third segment of our show. So about 45 minutes or so from now, Dr. McCarthy has some very interesting things to say about this issue, and it's one that... You know, when you hear 22, that's a significant number. You hear 20, that's still significant, but it's an improvement. Do you get the sense, and this is a question that I asked her, do you get the sense that it's moving in the right direction beyond just those numbers, that more is being done? I mean, I know you just said some people in the VA think that the VA is not doing enough, mm-hmm. but then you also just said that they were just kind of pulling back to try and figure out where they are and then where they should go from there.
And that's just my gut feeling, that I don't have anything to back that up, just some of the things I've seen. I don't know. I don't have enough information on this to say whether it's going the right way or the wrong way. It just, every day there seems to be more issues. On a similar note, the VA has done something that will help. They have opened another veteran crisis call center. So that'll bring it to three.
Mm.
And really what this one will do, it's not so much that more veterans will be able to get through, it's just more veterans will be able to get through easier. If you're in a medical center, you just pick up phone and dial 7 and you're instantly connected to the crisis line. Anyplace else, you have to dial several numbers, even if you're in a CBOC or a community center, a vet center. So now with opening this new one, any place, if it's a VA facility, all you have to do is pick up the phone, dial 7, you're going to be connected to the crisis line to be able to talk to somebody to help you or help you get the help that you need at that moment. That's a very good step that the VA is doing. And they're also opening up 100 new jobs for this, so that not only are they going to help veterans, but they're going to help people get a job as well.
Mm, which is a fantastic thing, because, you know, when it comes to suicide, there are so many factors that can go into it. Again, I think we have this perception that we need to move a little bit away from, where we think that it is the warfighter involved in direct combat coming back, having difficulty handling what they were able to go through. Is that a part of it? Yes, absolutely. However, it's not the only issue. I mean, you have people who have personal problems when they get back, whether it's a money problem, whether it's relationship issues, and it's not confined to those who have experienced combat. It's not even confined to those who were deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, the entire veteran community. And if you're talking about veterans who were in their 50s, okay, some of them may have deployed very recently as senior military members to Iraq and Afghanistan. But overall, if they're in their 50s, chances are they're from an era before that, if you have to look at it. I mean, majority of those who serve don't stay in for 20 years or so. So, you know, it's the majority of us do 1 to 2 tours and then get out. And the majority of us are okay, but there is a significant portion of us that is not. And it's thinking that it's only those who have seen combat, only those who have deployed to those specific areas. When you start thinking in that way, that's a danger where you can get too focused on that and forget about everybody else.
Yeah, and I really like the way the VA is looking at this. It's not that we're, I mean, while they, yes, they are, they do have certain areas focused to people who have seen combat. And of course, you have all those issues that come with that. But it's just, they just have it open for everybody. And they really try to keep it as, I don't want to say inclusive, because that's kind of making it seem like it's a club. But they want to make it so it's not that you have to have these horrible symptoms that show every day. Not everybody has symptoms that show like that. And so the VA knows this, and so they want to keep it as open and easy for people to get help as possible.
One thing that I did see this weekend, there were a few news stories on this that came out, that when those numbers came out, they also have pinpointed the areas where the suicide rate is highest, which is the Western United States and rural areas. Now, there are many factors in those areas that could contribute to it. You can talk about social isolation, access to healthcare. We've talked about VA facilities. I mean, if you go out to someplace like Montana, you could have to drive for many hours to try and get to a VA facility. You also have the fact that out there, in some rural areas, the job market isn't that good. So that's where you get those financial problems that are coming in. I mean, there are just so many issues that contribute to this and so many ways that it needs to be combated. And then another thing that we need to remember, each veteran is the same. We are not a monolith. You and I are very different. Jake and I are very different.
Right.
You and Jake are very different. We all have different needs. We all have different outlooks on things. So do you think that's a bit of a problem for the VA when you're trying to implement programs that may be effective for some people, may not be effective for others? I mean, it seems like it's going to be impossible to create something that works for everybody, but is it possible to create something that works for the majority of people?
Yes, I think it is. And I think the VA does a good job at that, where they have several different programs and they have several different ways to get the information out. They have several different ways to get patients in. One of the things that they released today, which I thought was genius, why hadn't somebody done this before? They released not only these numbers and the actual report, but they also released a document for reporters on how best to report about this, which is something that I've always thought about. When am I making it too sensationalistic? You know, what's going on? And this was a very, very, very interesting look at how to get this information out without causing more damage.
Yeah. And it's something that can be sensationalized. It's something that when I looked at one of the stories on the numbers and the states, and one of the headlines that I saw said, well, you know, perhaps in those states, gun ownership is a lot higher. Maybe that's one of the causes for it. Well, you're trying to tie two issues together.
Yeah, you
can't. Guns are not always used in suicides, and there are plenty of gun owners who are committing suicide.
In 2014, 67% of all deaths by suicide were from firearm injuries.
67%. Yeah. And then when you look at the numbers of firearm deaths in the United States, suicide is, I believe, the number one actual reason, more so than crime or anything like that. So it is an issue. But then again, as we've talked to so many veterans who have either thought about or attempted to kill themselves, it's not the only way. And if they want to find a way, they're going to find a way. So I think the issue is more, when you look at that, you're talking about the tool that someone is using and not addressing the issue at its root. Because if someone is suicidal and you take away their gun,
they're going to come up.
You think they're
way.
Just going to say like, mm-hmm. "Well, they took away my gun. I guess I won't be able to do this." Yeah. No, there are. You know, you're going to take away every blade in their house. You're going to take away all their medication. You're going to take away all their alcohol. You're going to take away all their narcotics. We've talked to people. Shane Crutchton comes to mind. Actually, the first recipient of one of the Harley Davidsons under Mission Thank You. He was a Marine, got out, started living a very unhealthy lifestyle in Wisconsin, where he's originally from, and eventually tried to kill himself by intentionally overdosing on cocaine. Mm. Didn't work. Mm. He survived, thankfully. Turned his life around to an amazing extent where he's now a professional athlete and giving a lot of the money that he makes to charity and doing a lot of great things for the community. But, you know, that's an example where, hey, you know, if he didn't have a gun, and apparently he didn't at that moment, he went another route.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta address the underlying issue and perhaps not talk about the tool implemented.
Right.
Because one headline that I saw, and I believe it was the Denver Post. In the Denver Post, talking about how suicide is highest among those in Western U.S. and rural areas, saying social isolation, gun ownership, and access to healthcare may be factors. Two of those are factors. Mm-hmm. The other one is a method. Gun ownership.
Yeah,
are you killing yourself because you own a gun? No, that's not the reason. You're using the gun. Social isolation, that could be a reason that you want to try to kill yourself. Lack of access to care, that could be a reason. That could be a contributing factor. Gun ownership is not a factor. It's a tool that is implemented to do it. So that's one of those things that just caught my eye. And it's interesting that you talked about how the VA is putting out media talking points, essentially saying like, hey, here's one way to report on this. And then we see an example where one of the methods, like, you know, is knife ownership. How about medication ownership? I mean, it's a very interesting thing that people can go at in a variety of different ways.
And it doesn't matter how they do it. It's suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States.
Wow.
So it's up there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, when it comes to, I think, after heart disease, I think, is still number one. And you've got diseases, essentially, and suicide is one of the first fully preventable issues at the top. I mean, is heart disease preventable? Yeah, if it's not genetic, then there are ways to go about it. But I mean, direct action, where it's something that happens like that. It's not a gradual thing. It's something that it happens, it's over, it's done with, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's very interesting. It's a very fascinating subject in a very dark way, and trying to figure out the best way to go about it. And again, we are all different. There are different ways to do it, but there are general programs and general things that work. And the VA has a lot of things that are available to those who might be getting to that point where they think about committing suicide, where they've pondered it, or where they've actually tried it. Part of the problem, though, that we have is a lot of veterans don't want to reach out for assistance with those issues. We're
supposed to be so strong while we're in the military, then we get out.
You're trained to overcome.
Yeah.
And then the thing that I say to people oftentimes, and I hear from people oftentimes who have attempted to commit suicide or who have gotten near that point, the thing that you hear from them is that they realized at one point that, yes, they were trained to adapt and overcome in the military, but they're not trained to adapt and overcome by themselves.
Right.
They are trained to adapt and overcome along with the assistance of their team, being part of a team. No matter who you're talking about, whether you're talking about a Navy SEAL, whether you're talking about a Green Beret, Army Ranger, Marine Force Recon, Air Force PJ, go to the highest levels of each service and you will find that they work in teams. Mm-hmm. And what makes them so effective is, yes, the individuals are fantastic, but those individuals working together as a team, that's what makes them so effective. That's what makes them so great. And that's what I think is the key to suicide prevention, particularly making sure people realize, hey, you were always part of a team and you still need to be part of a team. And if you're struggling, let your teammates help you out. And the VA is on your side in this.
Absolutely.
They are part of your team. So you can contact them and go through any of the various ways that the VA offers programs out to all of us veterans who are having difficulties. And of course, our VA reporter, Jonathan Kopanger, keeps an eye on everything taking place over at the VA. And as I mentioned, coming up later in the show, about 35 or so minutes from now, Dr. Megan McCarthy, Deputy Director of Suicide Prevention and Awareness from the VA, will join us on the morning briefing. I was able to speak to her previously. We recorded the conversation, and we'll play that for you coming up in just a little bit. She has a lot of interesting things to say and goes in depth about the programs that they offer, new things that they're working on, what a veteran can do if they think someone that they know is struggling, or a family member or a friend, anyone. It's not just for veterans. It's for all of us who are worried about someone who's struggling with, you know, the various things that can lead one to suicide, depression, financial difficulties, relationship difficulties, so many factors that, that lead into it. And that conversation with her coming up in just a little bit. Also coming up in just a few minutes, going to talk to Phil Briggs, the maestro of the podcasts at ConnectingVets.com. An excellent producer, also has that voice. He has that commercial
so
voice.
Smooth.
Oh, he's done commercials for various companies. In fact, one that I'm dealing with right now, trying to get to come on the show, Phil, it turns out, was a good point of contact for them because he did their commercials for their business over the radio. So I was like, oh, so you know these guys? Yay, put us in touch. Well, you know who else he got in touch with?
Who?
Joe Walsh.
Oh, yeah, that's
Joe
right.
Joe Walsh from the Eagles.
Yep.
Because Vets Aid, the concert from Joe Walsh, is coming up in just 2 days. I think it's 2 days. I think it's the 20th. I think it's coming up in 2 days. I'm going to have to double check on that. But he talked to Joe Walsh about why he's putting on Vets Aid 2017, which features not just Joe Walsh, but also the Zach Brown Band, Gary Clark Jr. Cool. I mean, if you are a music fan, Keith Urban, for all our country fans out there.
Where's the concert?
This is taking place at the Eagle Bank Arena in Fairfax, Virginia. It's this Wednesday, the 20th. And in just a few moments, you don't have to wait till Wednesday the 20th. Phil Briggs is going to be here. He's got some clips of his conversation with Joe Walsh of the Eagles, and we're going to talk about this concert right after this. It's a morning briefing.
As a military veteran, you know there are things you and fellow vets understand and feel that others may not get.
That's where CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com comes in. Connecting Vets Every Day, a nationwide digital portal connecting military veterans to the information and advice we need to thrive.
Live daily briefings.
Informative and fun.
And all sorts of podcasts by veterans for veterans.
Sponsored by Freedom Mortgage and Harley Davidson.
Welcome back to the morning briefing for this beautiful Monday, September 18th, 2017. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer. It's been a fantastic show so far, and it's not over yet. And really, it's never over. Because if you go to ConnectingVets.com, click on the podcast tab, you can download every episode of our show, dating back for like a month now, and listen to interviews that you might have missed. Interviews with people like musician John Preston, retired Navy chief who went into music, Jeremy Segrist, or that conversation Phil and I had about Joe Walsh just a few minutes ago. Go to ConnectingVets.com, click on the podcasts page. There's a little tab there. You'll see it on the website. You can download them. You can stream them. You can do whatever you want with them. There are so many fantastic people that we talk to on a daily basis here, and you can find them only at ConnectingVets.com. Well, I say that, but actually, if you follow us on social media, where we're at Connecting Vets on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, you, my friend, are in luck. You're going to be kept abreast of the latest and greatest things like, how about the Harley Davidson article that just went up this Friday about how they will store a bike for any military member going on deployment. And if that Harley Davidson bike is still under warranty, guess what? The warranty gets extended for the duration of your employment. So if you have a year remaining on your warranty when you go on deployment, you come back, guess what? You've still got a year remaining on your warranty. Just one of several fantastic programs by our good friends over at Harley Davidson Motorcycles. I've had the opportunity to talk to people on a variety of subjects, and perhaps none is more important than the epidemic of suicide that we face in the veteran community. It's now believed that 20 veterans a day take their own lives. I decided to talk to someone who's a representative of the organization that's perhaps doing the most and is certainly the only aspect of our government that is particularly tasked with addressing issues like this within the veteran community. Of course, I'm speaking of the Department of Veterans Affairs and Dr. Megan McCarthy, who is the Deputy Director nationally of Suicide Prevention and Awareness at the VA. Dr. McCarthy, September is an important month because September is Suicide Awareness and Prevention Month. What are we doing to ensure that our veterans are you know, getting the information that they need to be prevented from committing suicide, to maybe be aware of help that's aware for them from the VA specifically?
Yeah, thank you. This is such a great question. Suicide is a national public health issue that impacts all Americans, including, of course, veterans. It's a national emergency that requires bold action. And as you say, Suicide Awareness and Prevention Month is upon us right now in September. And we in VA think it's an opportunity to increase public awareness about the warning signs of suicide, for us in VA to provide information about VA mental health and suicide prevention resources, and show that individual people and organizations and communities can all work together to save lives. So what we in VA are doing, we've launched the Be There campaign, which is a public messaging campaign in collaboration with our suicide prevention partners, building on successful efforts from previous years, just to let people know that everyone has a role to play in suicide prevention, and that suicide prevention can really start with one simple act of support. So we're collaborating with community groups, with veteran service organizations, healthcare providers, corporations who employ a lot of veterans, educational institutions, government agencies, and other folks, to really educate and empower veterans and service members and their supporters to take action to help prevent suicide. So, you know, I think the overall message here is that for everyone, as part of your community, you have a role to play in suicide prevention, and you're in a position to help a veteran who may be at risk for suicide, that you don't need to be a healthcare provider or you don't need special training to safely talk about suicide risk or show genuine concern for someone in a crisis. For people who are interested in learning more about the ways that they can show support for veterans and find information about local resources in their community, they can go to veteranscrisisline.net. So that's all one word, veteranscrisisline.net/be there.
Fantastic. And we're speaking with Dr. Megan McCarthy, who is the National Deputy Director for Suicide Prevention at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Dr. McCarthy, we've talked on the show to several veterans who either attempted suicide, thought about attempting suicide, and it seems that there are a variety of things that can help a veteran who gets to that point. We had Shane Crutchton, who's now a professional MMA fighter, who it was his fellow Marines who found him and said, no, we're not going to let this happen to you. We've had Cole Lyle, who eventually was put in touch with a service dog that really changed things around for him. How important is it to realize that this is a problem that maybe doesn't have one specific answer, and how can we think outside of the box to try and find the different ways to help out the different veterans?
Yeah, thank you. That's such a great question, too, because, of course, there is no one typical profile of a veteran who struggles with suicidality, and there's no one treatment that works for everyone. What I can say is that we are working hard on this in VA, and that VA is a leader in developing and implementing exactly these kinds of out-of-the-box suicide prevention approaches and resources. So one of them I just talked about, which is working with all of our partners to raise awareness about suicide prevention and to educate people in their communities, to serve as what we call gatekeepers, to recognize signs of suicide risk and learn how they can support veterans and service members. We're also partnering with community mental health providers to really expand, again, the local network of treatment resources across a variety of treatments that are available to veterans so that veterans have access to the specific care that they want and need. We are doing some innovative screening and assessment programs. One of them is called REACH-MET, which stands for Recovery, Engagement, and Coordination for Health. And what that does is it identifies veterans who may be at risk for suicide and may benefit from enhanced care before that veteran is in crisis. And so in veterans who are identified in the Reach Vet program, their provider would reach out to them and say, hey, how's it going? How are you doing? Are all of your care needs being met? And if they're not met, what can we do to connect you with whatever care it is that you need and that would help? And in addition to that, VA, of course, is continually working to expand and enhance initiatives. We're expanding telemental health services to provide services to veterans who may live in rural areas and may not be able to get to their VA facility. We have free mobile apps to help both veterans and their families. And we have a unique program called Coaching Into Care, which is a national telephone-based VA support service for family members of veterans who may be concerned about a veteran who's a loved one. And Coaching Into Care will help family members encourage veterans to access care. And again, the kind of care that these veterans may want or need.
When we talk about veterans, it seems that they are often reticent to reach out for that assistance, partially because in the military, you're trained to be self-sufficient. You're trained to be able to overcome obstacles, and a lot of them see this as an obstacle. For someone, one of our listeners maybe, who might be a veteran or a family member of a veteran, who knows a veteran who's struggling with these issues, is there a general best first step for them to take to try and reach out to that person that they know who may not be going directly to the VA as a first step towards trying to get them into some sort of treatment program?
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate this question. You know, I don't think there's one general best first step. I think the best first step, of course, depends a lot on the individual person. If I may, I'll back up for a second and talk a little bit about maybe why some veterans are reluctant to seek treatment. This is certainly something that resonates with me because of my time working as a suicide prevention coordinator at a VA medical center before the role I have now. Sometimes veterans have difficulty identifying mental health challenges or readjustment issues, right? They may not know that what they're struggling with is a mental health issue. I think some veterans may notice their symptoms, but really aren't sure what to do about them and might not know that they're a symptom of a mental health issue. And, you know, I think some notice their challenges and notice that they may be symptoms, but they, you know, may not know that treatment works and recovery is possible. They might think that nothing can be done, or they might worry about ways that treatment might impact their lives. And so I just really want to reiterate here that treatment does work, that recovery is possible. We know this from a large body of research, and that there are a lot of front doors in VA, if I can call it that, a lot of ways to access treatment. One of them for family members is, of course, the resource I just mentioned called Coaching Into Care, and people can access that at the VA.gov website. For veterans or family members, another resource is the Veterans Crisis Line. That's a key front door that can help you connect to really any other resources in VA and help you connect with resources in VA that can also help you connect with community resources if you don't want to come to VA for care. Another option is to call your local VA medical center to get connected with the suicide prevention coordinator there directly. There's a national network of vet centers and community resource centers for veterans who may want to access their local treatments there. So there are a lot of different resources through the Veterans Crisis Line and through contacting VA medical centers directly to help folks get into care. One final resource I want to mention is called MakeTheConnection.net. So again, all one word, MakeTheConnection.net. And that's a resource that has hundreds of videos of veterans of all different ages, service eras, from living in all different geographical areas in the country, who have struggled with a variety of medical and mental health challenges and are in the process of recovery. So it's a chance for veterans to hear from other veterans who may be a lot like them and who may be experiencing the same difficulties. And it provides guidance and resources for veterans, you know, hopefully before they reach a crisis point, and helps them get into care before they're in crisis.
We're speaking with Dr. Megan McCarthy. She is the National Deputy Director for Suicide Prevention at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Doctor, as a veteran myself who's been lucky enough to not be very close to anyone who's taken their own life, but at the same time, through the course of my job, knowing people who have lost so many and seeing the devastation, and the devastation from the enlisted ranks through the officer ranks, Major General Mark Graham, who works at Vets for Warriors, coming on and telling us about his son, who was an Army officer, cadet, I believe, in college, taking his own life. It's so wide-ranging, and it's such a devastating subject that I think it can sometimes feel like we are underwater with it, and that we're working to find ways to make it better, but that it's not really getting better. Is that true, or are things actually getting better? Have we seen any kind of trend in the veteran community that gives us some hope?
Yeah, what a great question. Even one veteran suicide is, of course, one too many. And that, you know, we all read about the discouraging stories that come out. I want to talk a little bit now about VA's recent analysis of veteran suicide data, because I think that talking about those numbers a little bit can help put what you're saying into perspective, and can help us understand better how we may address suicide risk factors. So, as I think you're alluding to, and as I think many of our listeners know, an average of 20 veterans died by suicide each day in 2014, and that was down from the number 22 in 2010. About 65% of those deaths were among veterans age 50 and older. Suicide rates remain very high among young veterans, and I think that's something we hear a lot about in the news, and that's absolutely an issue of concern. But one thing we know from the suicide data is that the majority of the suicide burden, or of the numbers, comes from veterans age 50 and older. We do also know that risk for suicide is higher among veterans as a group than it is among civilian adults. So again, in 2014, that risk for suicide was 22% higher. When we talk about all of that, it does indeed sound like we have a lot of work to do. And we do have a lot of work to do here in VA, and all of us have a lot of work to do. VA can't do it alone. But as I was talking about before, we are aggressively undertaking these new initiatives to expand available mental health services and suicide prevention resources for all veterans, whether they're enrolled in VHA healthcare or not, and to connect at-risk veterans with care and supports. And the hope is that all veterans will have access to the resources that they need long before they're in a crisis, so that they never start down that path towards thinking about suicide.
Now, if they do start down that path, and you know that they're having that struggle with reaching out, is there any advice you would give to a veteran who's having that struggle and who's thinking, you know, I don't know what to do in this situation? What would you tell that person?
Absolutely. You know, in addition to some of the things I talked about before about MakeTheConnection.net, I would tell that person to reach out to someone that they trust, someone that they know who will be there for them and listen to them, and to talk to that person about how they're feeling. And I'd tell them if that person's not available, you can always call the Veterans Crisis Line 24/7, 365 days a year. That's 1-800-273-8255. and then press 1.
Now, when the VA, I'm sure the VA is constantly looking for new ways to address this situation. How confident are you that we can keep making progress and keep making headroads and finding new ways at the VA specifically to help those veterans who are in, you know, this sort of a situation, this sort of personal crisis, and try and keep however many of them we can from taking their own lives?
So I am confident because we are working hard every day, and over 400 suicide prevention coordinators at every VA medical center around the country are working hard every day to make sure we connect these at-risk veterans with the resources they've earned. You know, having said that, we have a lot more work to do, and we have a lot of work to do and thinking about how we can make sure that we reach veterans, especially veterans who may not be connected with the VA or may not want to come to the VA, how we can make sure that we know how to reach them and connect them with the care and support they need, and to develop innovative new programs that help meet veterans' needs so that we give them the care that they need rather than trying to fit them into the care that we have.
And that is a very good point, I think. And can you correct me if I'm wrong on this? One of the fairly recent changes in the way that we address this sort of issue within the veteran community is realizing that there are so many different people out there, and each case really needs to be approached on an individual level. Can you tell me just a little bit about how the VA works to do just that, to make sure that each individual gets individualized treatment?
Absolutely. So we are developing, first of all, programs related to increased access. So to make sure that when every veteran calls the Veterans Crisis Line or comes to a VA medical center for help, that they get prompt care, especially if they're experiencing an emergency or an urgent situation, and that they get sustained care that's the kind of care that we know that will help them. So we are in the process of developing programs that will help make sure that veterans are getting the care that's specified and individualized to them, so that tracks their progress over time, so that we know if the care that they're receiving is helping, and if it's not, that we can readjust course.
We've been speaking with Dr. Megan McCarthy, who is the Deputy Director of Suicide Prevention at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Dr. McCarthy, is there a place that people can go for an overview of all of the programs related to this to find out more information?
Absolutely. So folks can go to mentalhealth.va.gov.
And that is the website where they'll be able to find everything that they need. And if they are concerned for someone, if they're concerned for themselves, what is the first place that you recommend that they reach out to?
Absolutely. So mentalhealth.va.gov gives a good overview, again, of VA suicide prevention resources and mental health resources. If you're ever concerned about someone in crisis or who's in urgent distress, I'd always recommend calling the Veterans Crisis Line, 1-800-273-8255. Press 1 if you're a veteran. You can also go to veteranscrisisline.net and start a chat with a Crisis Line responder there.
And my final question for you, as someone who deals with this as a professional, as someone who sees so much of it and sees so many cases, so many aspects of the issue, what message would you personally like to give to those veterans out there who might be struggling at this time?
Yeah, I would like to thank them very much for their service to our country. And I want them to know that I and all of the folks I work with remember that every day when we work. We remember what we owe them, and we are working hard to give them the care and support they have earned. I'd like them to know that treatment works and recovery is possible. And for friends and family members of veterans, I would like them to remember that we can all help a veteran who's at risk through simple actions to make a really big difference. Even just asking someone how they're doing and really taking time to stop and listen to the answer, calling someone and asking them to go for a walk or going out to dinner. These are the kinds of actions that build community and that help us know that suicide is preventable and that we can all make a difference.
Indeed, we can. Dr. Megan McCarthy, Deputy Director for Suicide Prevention and Awareness at the Department of Veterans Affairs. And we want to thank her so much for her time in talking about this very serious issue. September is Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month. And if there is someone who you know, or if you are someone who's struggling, veteran or not, there are programs out there to assist, to help you help someone, or to help you help yourself. Because as we've heard from so many veterans, life is not better without you. It's an absolute fact. It may feel like it at sometimes. It may feel like if you say goodbye, if you check out, the world would be better off. We're here to tell you, and so many survivors are here to tell you, that is not the case. It is absolutely not the case. So reach out to a friend, a family member, one of your brothers or sisters in arms. They are there for you. They are there to help. They want you to be around, and they want to experience life alongside you, not remembering you. Remember that. You've been listening to The Morning Briefing for Monday, September 18th, 2017. A big thank you to all of our guests today. Jonathan Kopanger on new numbers coming out of the VA on suicide awareness and prevention. Our own Phil Briggs on the podcast featuring Joe Walsh that you can hear by going to connectingvets.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Of course, you can also go to vetsaid.org to find out about the Vets Aid show. It's coming up in just 2 days. That's right, Wednesday, September 20th at 6:30 p.m., Eagle Bank Arena, Fairfax, Virginia, Zach Brown Band, Gary Clark Jr., Keith Urban, and Joe Walsh. Sounds fun. It's Morning Briefing. See you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.